Did you start the recording? Okay. Good evening. I hope that there's a good sign and that we're back and we can be learning the Parsha together once again. The topic that we're going to discuss is the leadership of Bnei Yisrael as presented, as described in the Torah. And in the Torah, in this week's parashah, in the parashah of Shoftim, and that leadership is the Melech, the king, and the Navi, the prophet. Those are the two people who are designated in the Torah as the leadership of Am Yisrael, but they are really very different one from the other. We'll look at the psukim about the king. Ki tavo la'aretz, when you come to the land of Israel. That's a very common theme in the book of Dvarim. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, everything is different. Asher Hashem Elokecha notein lach, then v'yirishta, you inherit it, v'yashakta ba, you will sit therein. V'amarta, this takes time. It's not something that happens immediately. But it's not, apparently you're not led into Eretz Yisrael or Eretz Canaan by a king. But it's only after you dwell in the land, after you live there, after you build it up, that you can say, V'amarta, Asima alai melech. Now I would like to have a king. I would like to have a king. Kichol ha-goyim asher sivotai, like all the nations that I know about. Somta sima lecha melech. That's what the pasuk says. Place upon yourself a king. It sounds like a directive. The Torah wants you to have a king. Okay, we have this problem with Shmuel HaNavi. Sam, when the people came to Shmuel HaNavi and asked for a king, Shmuel told them, no, it's not a good idea. What about these psukim? Okay, it's a problem, but we're not so interested at the moment at that problem. What we're interested in is, why does the pasuk say, "Sol tasim alecha melech, asher yivchar Hashem alokecha bo"? What is asher yivchar Hashem alokecha? God will choose. How does God choose? Well, I mean, after all, I take the example of Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king in the northern kingdom after the death of Shlomo HaMelech. The nation of Israel split into two, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom, Jerusalem and south, remained in the family of Shlomo HaMelech. His son, Rehoboam, became king. But then the northern half of Eretz Canaan was without a king, and Yeravam ben Nevat, who eventually became the worst of them, the worst king of all times, he, Yeravam ben Nevat, was appointed king by a prophet. Achia HaShiloni was his name. And that's what we learned. I mean, that even though he ended up badly, he ended up as an idolater and tried to convince the people of Israel, the people under his dominion, that they should move in the direction of idolatry. He says, nevertheless, it says in the pasuk, "Bekerev achecha tasim alecha melech." There's this emphasis. Lo tuchal atet alecha ish nachri asher lo achicha hu. What's an ish nachri? Is an ish nachri a foreigner? I mean, he's not Jewish? Or he is Jewish? Well, if we look at the Rambam, the Rambam's understanding, I'll get to it in a minute. One second. Rambam says this. Ema midin melech mikahal gerim. The Rambam takes it from the other side. What if you have a candidate for kingship who's a ger, who became Jewish, he's probably very sincere. Ein ma'amidin, you can't have him as a king in Israel. Afilu achar kama dorot, even if he converted, his conversion was several generations previously. No, we're very careful about this. His mother has to be a Jew, a Jewess. Shneimar, and he quotes our pasuk: "Lo tuchal atet lecha ish nachri asher lo achichahu." And then the Rambam goes on and says, "Well, lo malchut bilvad." You know, he didn't have to. We're not only talking about kingship. Any kind of authority. Lo sar tzava, he can't be a general. Lo sar chamishim, lo sar asara, big general, a little general. Afilu memuna al emet amat hamayim, even somebody who's in charge of the flow of water, the water commission, shemechalek mimenu l'sadot, the water is divided up by his direction into the various fields. Ve'ein tzarich lomar, there's no need to say that he can't be a dayan, a judge, or nesi, or a prince. Shelo yeh ele miYisrael, that only Yisraelim can do that job. Shneimar, the king should come from your brethren. All the things that you do, all the leadership that you embark upon. So according to the Rambam, it's not just somebody who is not Jewish, but even somebody who's a ger, who converted sincerely, and who has built a Jewish home, and no one has any arguments with him or against him, and yet somehow. Somehow the Rambam says he can't be a king. Why can't he be king? And this question about the Rambam is further exacerbated by the fact that, you know, the Rambam in the Gerita Teiman, he asked that question. What about a ger? Can he daven, the regular davening? Can he say Shmona Esrei like everybody else says Shmona Esrei? Question. So the Rambam says quite clearly. Rambam says quite clearly in that a ger can say Elo Shmona Esrei, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, he can say those words, even though they're obviously not true biologically. I mean, he, this ger, this convert, or the son of a convert, or the grandson of a convert, he says, all of this person gets up to say Shmoneh Esrei, and he says, okay, Abraham, okay, Yitzchak, Yaakov. It would be somewhat embarrassing if the ger, if the convert knew the Shmoneh Esrei better than anybody else and was chosen to be Shaliach Tzibur. So the Rambam says that it's not a problem that the ger is fully integrated into the Jewish people. And there is no doubt, according to the Rambam, there is no doubt that the ger is the son of Abraham, the son of Yitzchak, the son of Yaakov. Because there is, after all, a conceptual notion that applies to that. And this person accepted the family of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as his family. As his family. I think that the problem is a problem of authority. Problem of authority. Let's just see what the pasuk will teach us. Here. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Rak lo yabel susim. He shouldn't have horses. Lo yeshiv et ha'am Mitzrayim. He shouldn't bring the people back to Egypt. The man harbot susim, in order that they should increase the number of horses. Hashem amar lachem, and God said, lo tosifun lashuv baderech hazeh, oh, don't go back to Egypt. Symbolically, certainly, it's problematic. Lo yarbelo nashim, and he shouldn't have a lot of wives. Lo yasu lebavo, and he should not. His heart should not be changed. Kesev is a lo yabelo ma'od. He shouldn't think about a lot of money. Ayakas shivto kisei malachto. And when he sits on his seat, v'katav lo et mishneh Torah azot al sefer, he should write the mishneh Torah, either the Torah or the Book of Devarim, al sefer. He should have this Sefer Torah with him all his days. The man yilmad yirat Hashem elokav lishmarat kol debriat Torah azot v'etachukim ha'elu lasotam. There's a special problem that a person in that kind of leadership position, that kind of trappings of authority. I mean, he has a problem. I mean, how does he maintain his connection to the Torah, to the mitzvot? Not easy. He shouldn't raise himself above his brethren. And he should not deny the mitzvahs and kind of leave them be. Man yarich yamim al mamlachto, in order that he should live a long life. Hu banav, the care of Israel. Again, hu banav, because we know that a king passes on the kingship to his children, to the family. right? The family inherits the leadership of a king. We see that the Torah is very kind of aware of the fact, it seems to be aware of the fact that people are going to ask for a king because they know that a king can organize the community in a way. A king can organize a community, the nation, in a way that is beneficial to all. Everybody will be able to live a better life, a more impressive kind of existence if they have a king. But the king itself is like a booby trap. He's dangerous. He's not just dangerous to himself, which is probably also the case. He is dangerous to himself, but besides the fact that he's dangerous to himself, the king is dangerous to everybody else. I mean, he sets the standards. If he is interested in horses and in trips and in traveling around and in gambling, well, then he's going to affect the people in that way. That's the nature of kingship. It's real. It's not just something imagined. But people look up to the king. They want to emulate him. They want to copy the king's way of doing things. And so we see that the Torah says there's really no choice. We have to have a king, but we can try to modify his behavior. We could try to make him acceptable to the Torah. As difficult as it is, I mean, we know ourselves from our examples that we live with all the time. It's wonderful that there are limits, that the President of the United States doesn't become the King of the United States, that after 4 years, his term is up. This is something that is so important for the democratic system that we all understand. We all understand why that is the case. So again, why is it that the king can be a native, but he can't be a convert? Can't be a convert. So, I mean, I think that the way that this position of the Rambam is explained has something to do with rachamim. With rachamim, you know, mercy. Mercy is a very important notion that the Jewish people have. Right? They are merciful. They feel strongly that they emulate God. They emulate God by being merciful. And that being merciful, right, is, I mean, when you choose somebody to be, give direction or leadership, then you have to pick the person who is most likely in a critical position to be merciful. And so the Rambam says, okay, you could have a person who is a very sensitive and special kind of person, who is a ger. And certainly there's no reason to imagine that when the convert davens, his davening has less value than the davening of the native. Nevertheless, in a critical moment, in a difficult time, I mean, you know that kings are also political people. They don't always have the confidence of the nation behind them, they are not always able to express leadership in the proper way. And therefore, they are prone to be in tense and oppressive situations, tense and oppressive situations. So the Rambam says, who is more likely to lose it? The person who has relatives, the person who is well-connected, the person who can act for the benefit of his family, the people he knows, the people he grew up with, or the person who is kind of a new guy on the street. So the Rambam says, don't take a chance. Don't take a chance with converts. Don't take a chance. That's what the pasuk really means. You have to avoid the person you have to avoid the people who find it difficult to express rachamim. To express rachamim. We know that King Saul, the first king in Israel, lost his position as king because his mercy was kind of difficult. He had mercy on the Amalekites instead of having mercy on Bnei Israel. And because his mercy was off, he lost it. He lost that kingship. So you see that the leadership is difficult. Here the Torah tells us you have to have a king, so make a king. Just make sure that he lives a noble or honorable life. But we know that you can't really be sure about a king. You can't really know. And even if you do all the things that the pasuk recommends, you really don't know that you've accomplished what you want to accomplish. So you see, Yerovam ben Nevat, the first king in the northern kingdom after the death of King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, became the worst possible person. He, Yerovam ben Nevat, became the worst possible person, even though he was chosen and appointed by a prophet, by a Navi. And so I imagine that at the moment that he was chosen, at the moment that the Navi made him into a special person, at that moment he was righteous, he was deserving. But in time he wanted his kingship to be greater than the kingship of the south, the one of Rehavam, who was the son of Shlomo HaMelech. So we have an introduction to the notion of kings, and I think that the kingship that is described is, you know, what's going to be. This is what's going to happen. There are going to be kings, but we're not going to be able to control the situation. We're not going to be able to make sure. We're not going to be able to make sure that the king remains true, even if we make him write the Sefer Torah, and then we make him carry around the Sefer Torah, and we make him review the Sefer Torah. I mean, all of those things will certainly help, but they won't be absolute. We won't be absolutely certain that the king that the Melech, that is the King of Israel, is the perfect person and the perfect choice for that. The second leader, type of leadership in this parasha is Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Tet Vav, Navi Mikir Becha, Me'achecha, Kamoni, Ekim Lecha Hashem Elokim Elav Tishma'u. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu talking. He's saying a Navi, Yakim Lecha Hashem Elokecha, that leadership of Am Yisrael includes the Navi. Includes the Navi. Navi doesn't have the problem of, I mean, he's like a conceptual person. He thinks in terms of categories. He tries to understand what God wants of us. He's V'chol Hashem Sha'alta Me'im Hashem Elokecha B'chorei B'yom HaKa'al Le'mo Lo Osef L'shmo Et Kol Hashem Elokai Et Eish HaGdola Zot L're Od V'lo Amut. So Moshe Rabbeinu reminds them that they didn't want to accept the Torah by Yom Hashem Elai. Heitivu Asher Dibeiru. Speak up. Navi Yakim Lachem Mikerev Achechem Kamocha. Venatati Dabar Befi V'diber Eleihem Etzol Asher Tzavenu. So the Navi is the speaks in the name of God. So in order for Am Yisrael, in order for Am Yisrael to achieve the kind of nation that we're thinking of, there has to be a voice that speaks in the name of God. Vayaha isha shelo yishmal divarai, the person who doesn't listen, Hashem yidaber b'shmi, and speaks in my name, Anochi Edrosh Mimo, I will call him to account. Ach, Anavi, Hashem Yazil Lidaber Dabar B'Shmei Et Hashem Lo Tzivitim Lidaber, Hashem Yidaber B'Shem Elohim Achrim U'Meit Anavi Yahu. If the prophet is not speaks in my name, but speaks things that I did not tell him to say, and he speaks in the names of other gods, that Navi should die. Punishment. Chitomar bilvavecha echan neda et hadavar shelo dibro Hashem. And if you'll ask, how do you know what it is that God did not speak? Be afraid. If the Navi says something is going to happen and it doesn't happen, so you know in that way that you're telling, he's telling the truth. But I think that what these psukim are saying, Navi mikir b'cha mi'achecha kamoni, a Navi like me, Moshe Rabbeinu says. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to take the people out of Mitzrayim and bring them to Eretz Kenan. But that wasn't the main job. Anybody could do that. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person who was the direct connection between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch. When Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, they knew that he spoke in God's name. It was clear. It was clear. And what these psukim are saying, that you, B'nai Yisrael, you can't really exist without that direct connection. Can't exist without that direct connection. That's Am Yisrael. That's what it is. That's called the ones who connect, the ones who are part of this grand design So there's a promise. There's a promise that this connection will always exist. Will always exist. Pasuk Yotet. Vaya ish asher lo yishma dvarai asher yedaber b'shmi anochi edrosh me'imo. So there's this ongoing renewal, this ongoing happening. There's a Navi. But besides the Navi, there's the Navi speaking. The Navi is not somebody who hides out, who speaks to himself. Knows something that no one else knows, quite the contrary. The Navi is there in order to protect Am Yisrael, to make them special. And what makes them special is that they not only do they have the Torah, not only do they have the Torah, but they also have an ongoing teachings of the Navi. The Navi that's always there. It's always there. And it could be that in the course of time, things get changed around a little bit. It's not just Nevi'im who are speaking God's word, but also Talmidei Chachamim. I mean, maybe that is also. I mean, we have leadership. We have teachers. There are people who can help us. Always, they're always there. And even though it's true that the Navi can also go bad, so to speak. I mean, because the Navi is charged with the notion that Bnei Yisrael have to be taught their ongoing obligations. They have to be, that's a kind of an authority position that the Navi also has. So the Navi may also, even though to a lesser degree, but to some degree, have that problem. I mean, we know that there is a Navi Sheker. A Navi doesn't tell the truth. That's what the Pasuk says. Right? Meita Navi Yehuda, any Navi who says things that are not true, any Navi who speaks in the name of God but doesn't speak things that God said, Anochi Adrosh Me'emo, I will demand a reckoning from him. So the Navi also contains certain aspects of authority, and those aspects of authority might produce a bad result. The bad result being that he becomes a Navi Sheker. We know that there was a complexity to prophecy. There was a complexity to prophecy. Eliyahu Navi went up on Har Carmel and did something that was patently forbidden. He sacrificed animal sacrifice outside of the Beit HaMikdash. It was in the Mount Carmel, right near Haifa. But that action was, after all, that action was that action is called Horaat Sha'ad. I mean, sometimes the Navi speaks in the name of God, but says things that sound as though they contradict what God really wants. And this is a difficult situation that is, I mean, you have to have somebody to depend on. You have to have somebody to make this all make sense. So even though the Navi is not described in the same way as the Melech, even though the Navi, the leadership of the Navi, is totally different than the leadership of the king, nevertheless, the danger that the king faces, the danger that that might bring him, the king, to do things that he should not do, that he should stay away from, to influence people in an incorrect manner, says all of that could also exist for the Navi. All of that could exist for the Navi, even though the chances are not as great as the king. So here is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us two things about the perfect society. The one that should be have a king, the other one is just to have a prophet. We know that at later times, after Shmuel and Avi, the prophet and the king did not always get along together, which I guess is good. No, they didn't get along together because they each wanted to do the best thing that was possible. Okay, we talked a little about the king, about the prophet. Yetzer Hashem, I'll see you next week. All the best.
Thank you.
Be well. Okay.